Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.
It is February 28th, Halacha, and this is pre-Purim. So last time we didn't get up to Shalach Manos. We have to cover Shalach Manos tonight, and then do Megillah. So, Shalach Manos. Well, we'll do the Suda and Shalach Manos. We started the Suda last time. So we're in Taf Resh Tzadi Hey, which is page 822. Sorry, 322.
No, are you already the first
number? How's that the first one?
No, 320.
322. And it's Saif Gimel. Omer al-Hanisim b'birchas ha-mazon b'birchas ha-aretz. You say al-Hanisim when you bench in the second bracha. V'mhisko su'udaso b'yom. If you started eating during the day, u'mashcha al-halayla, and the meal went into the night, which is very common. Omer al-Hanisim, you still say al-Hanisim. The basar tchilas su'udas linen, because you follow the beginning of the meal, just like on Shabbos, if you start shalosh shuras when Shabbos is still happening, and then continue into the night, you still say ritzay. Some say you should not say Al Hanisim if it continues into the night, but Vinoagim Kisvar Rishona, Minag is like the first opinion, which is that you do say Al Hanisim even if you end after Purim is over, you still say Al Hanisim, which is the Minag. That is what we do. We also say Al Hanisim, of course, in davening, and Modim, we say Al Hanisim after Modim. Okay, now this is what we didn't cover last time, Dalad, which is Shalach Manos. Chayav Lishloach Lachavero Shtei Manos Basar, you need to send to your friend two portions of meat, o shalmine ochlem, or other types of food. Shenemar, because the pasuk says, umishloach manos ish dereehu. You have to send gifts, one man to his friend. Shtei matanos leish echa, that means two gifts to one person. That's what you need to do. V'chol hamar belishloach lereim, and anybody who increases sending to many friends, mishubach, that is praiseworthy to give a lot of shalach manos. Vim Elo, if he doesn't have anything to give his friend, Machlef im Chavero, then he should just exchange with his friend. Zesholeachla zesudaso, vzesholeachla zesudaso. This one gives his meal to this one, and this one gives his meal to that one. In other words, if two people are poor and they don't have any food to give away, they should simply exchange their Purim Suda. This guy gives his meal to this one gives his meal to that one. Kvevakayim umishloach manos ishtereyehu, in order to fulfill the obligation of giving gifts of food one to the other. Hagab. You should give it during the day, not at night. In other words, not in this year on Matzah Shabbos, but rather on Purim day on Sunday. If you send manos to your friend, and he doesn't want to accept them, well, let's say you knock on his door and say, here, it's shalach manos. I brought you shalach manos. And he says, I don't want it. He slams the door. Oh, mochalo. Or he says, you know what? You don't have to do it. It's okay. Yatza, you have to fulfill your obligation. Even though you didn't actually give it in, you still fulfill the obligation because you offered it. V'isha chayeves b'matanos l'avyonim u'mishloach manos ki ish. A woman is obligated in matanos l'avyonim and in shalach manos just like a man. V'isha tishalach l'isha v'ish l'ish. A woman should send shalach manos to a woman, and a man should send shalach manos to a man. Avalo v'hevach, but not the opposite. A man should not send shalach manos to a woman, and a woman should not send shalach manos to a man. Shal yavo ish l'ishloach la'almana, because we don't want a man to give shalach manos to a widow. V'yavo l'idei safek kiddushin, and then it might be a safek whether he married her. So you got to be careful. But with matanos levionim, there's no problem because that's not given as a gift; that's given as charity, and therefore matanos levionim, we have no problem to give to the opposite gender. But for shalach manos, men should not give to women; women not to men. Now, of course, if your family is giving to a family, so then you know you're giving to the whole family. But a specific shalach manos, if you're going to give to a specific person, a man or a woman, a man should give a man, a woman should give a woman, not vice versa.
I'm trying to think if the logic works. Why the woman couldn't give it to the man based on that?
The gzera would be across the board. That's because we don't want cross-gender Shalach Manos. But it goes beyond that, of course, because we don't want to engender any kind of relationship between different genders. It should remain within the same gender.
Even for single people?
Especially single people. Yeah. Now, somebody asked me, an engaged couple, could they send to each other? So there, of course, they can. I mean, that's the whole, there you're trying to engender a relationship. That's the whole point. And so they could send to each other. But people who are not married or not engaged should not be sending to each other. Now, Shalach Manos, you need to give, as we said, two items to one person, and you have fulfilled your obligation. That's all you need, two items to one person. Those two items can be the same bracha. They do not have to be separate brachas. There's it's sometimes said they have to be separate brachas, and it's not so. They can be the same bracha, but they need to be separate items. So in other words, you can't send two apples. Two apples would be the same item. You need to give two different items. An apple and an orange would be okay. It's two separate items. You can also do it with a drink. It doesn't have to be food. You can give wine and orange juice. That would also be okay. Two separate items. I wouldn't do wine and grape juice. I would think that that's probably considered the same thing. But wine and orange juice, wine and beer, that would be okay. It's two separate items. Or a drink and a food. That would also be okay. And you can fulfill your mitzvah that way.
Very prevalent, the concept that it has to be two separate brachas. Is there some basis anywhere?
It just says two separate items. So I think that was mistakenly thought to mean two separate brachas.
But you think a chocolate and a soda would be 100% no vessel, no problem with sugar.
Yeah. You're
destroying all these things.
Yeah, that's the point. That's the point.
You're doing it the right way.
The more you learn, the more empowered you are. That's the idea.
So it could be the same bracha, but if they're different items with the same bracha,
it's okay. Yeah. So you can give cake and cookies, right? Two separate items, but two cookies would not be. It's the same thing,
right?
Chocolate chip and Oreo.
With a chocolate chip and Oreo, maybe that would count. I don't know. It may be the same thing because it's the same. Now, the
that's two cookies.
You give a black and white cookie to the countess too. the Shalach Manos does have to be commensurate to the person you're giving it to, meaning that I just mentioned this to the women just before, that when we were in yeshiva and we were living on very low budgets, so we used to try to get away with a raisin and a Hershey's Kiss. The problem is that it has to be, the kavod of the Shalach Manos has to somehow fit the person you're giving it to. So you got to give something nice enough. It doesn't have to be beautiful, but it's something nice enough that it's a real gift, and that's like a joke. So that's all. The other thing about Shalach Manos is that the food has to be edible as is, which means that, for example, we once got a very creative Shalach Manos. It was the ingredients to make soup, which is nice. But you don't fulfill your obligation because it's not edible the way it is. So it's got to be ready to eat. Now, you can give the ingredients to make soup and also a bag of potato chips and a Coke, right? But then you're fulfilling it with the potato chips and the Coke, and the other thing is just cute. But
you have to give a shear big enough to say a bracha?
It has to be big. When you say a bracha on anything, a bracha rishona, you can say on any amount, even the smallest amount. A bracha achrona needs a certain amount to make a bracha achrona, ending bracha. But it's not that. It just has to be. And it has to be enough of a kavod for the person you're giving it to. That's all. It has nothing to do with the bracha. It has to do with the fact that it should be nice enough that the person considers it to be a gift and not to be a joke.
Yeah. So in other words, like a hot chocolate packet or tea bag.
Yeah, so a tea bag is not edible the way it is. Hot chocolate, I wonder, because you can really eat that. You can eat that. That's the powder. I don't know. Yeah, but...
We did the kilo in the army that you give, don't have so everyone take a magash, how to say, the magash of the food.
And the plate.
Plate, kind of put the food, and after this, we make switch.
Yeah, that's what he says, that you could do that, just switch your food with each other.
So it's like a joke.
It's not a joke, the food that you're giving is a real meal. So
yes.
It's only a joke because we're just giving each other things. But the food is not a joke. The type of food is not a joke. And therefore that would be okay. That's what you do. It says to do that if you have no choice. That's what you do. That's interesting. So you actually did that. So there you go. They have a case where people did it because they didn't have a choice.
So you take your plate of food and to the other guy, he hands it to you.
Right.
And you get the food from the diaspora.
Right. You get it from the mess. Oh, okay. Actually, you got it. Okay. So you make a kenyan, you acquire it, then you give it to the next guy, and you give it to the other. That's the that's shalom.
From children in Israel.
Yeah. Okay. So that's the that's shalach manas. Now the you can give as many as you want, and you can give as much matanos tavionim as you want, which we spoke about already on Monday. Preferably, you should spend more money on matanos tavionim than on shalach manos. That's the one. The poor people need the money more than the people need the shalach manos. So it's common to give a lot of shalach manos, but the bulk of the money really should be directed towards matanos tavionim if you can. If you're inviting poor people to your suda, then that's also good. I think the main thing, the point is that the tzedakah is the biggest of these mitzvahs. So you want to make sure that the poor people are taken care of. And therefore, the they should be taken care of with more, should be focused more on them than the other. That's all. Okay, now we did not talk about Megillah. We skipped it last time. So I want to go back. And the Megillah is bigger than these other halachas, so we're not going to have a chance to go through everything, but at least let's cover some of the Megillah, whatever we can over here. Let's go back to page 301, Taf Resh Pei Zion.
Taf Resh.
A person is obligated to read the Megillah at night and then to go back and read it again during the day. Now, of course, reading it means you could hear it being read. That's also okay. The nighttime reading, you can do it all night. And the daytime reading is all day. Mehane tzachama, from sunrise ad sof hayom, till the end of the day. V'imkara misha'ala amud ha-shachar, if you read from the beginning of alos ha-shachar, yatsa, you do fulfill your obligation, but preferably the reading should not be until after sunrise. Sunrise on Purim morning is about 7:05. And so you shouldn't have been done before that. The first reading of Beth Jacob is at 7:30. So that, of course,
Sunday morning.
That's Sunday morning, yeah. Yeah. So you need to, but you do need to hear the Megillah both at night and during the day. That means you have to hear the entire thing from beginning to end. You can't miss any words. So you can't come late. If you do come late, then it's no good. You got to hear it from the beginning to end. Right. Now, let's see. We're going to have to skip around over here if we're going to get everything in. Let's move on to page 305, Taf Resh Pei Tes.
Verified.
Skip two more pages to page 305. Aleph. Hakol Chayavim B'Kriyasa. Everybody is obligated in reading the Megillah. Anashim, V'Nashim, V'Gerim, V'Avadim Mishuchrarim. Men, women, converts, freed slaves. U'machanchem Esaktanim L'Krosa. And we also, there's a mitzvah of Chinuch for the children to read the Megillah. And of course, reading over here means also hearing the Megillah. So it is appropriate to train children to hear the Megillah. Now we're going to talk about what age children presently, but there is a mitzvah of chinuch for Kriyas HaMegillah. Beis, Echad HaKorei ve'Echad HaShomea min HaKorei yatza yedei chovaso. Whether you read it yourself or whether you hear it from someone who else who is reading it, you have fulfilled your obligation. That is only though if you hear it from someone who is obligated to read it. If you hear it from someone who is not obligated to read it, you're not yotze. Therefore, if the reader himself wasn't obligated, let's say the reader is on their bar mitzvah, or a cheresh or a shota, which are various forms of people who are not obligated to mitzvahs because of their mental capacity, then someone who hears them reading is not yotze. So if you hear it from a boy under bar mitzvah, you would not be yotze because he's not obligated yet, and therefore you would not be yotze. Some say shehanashim enam motzios es ha'anashim. Some say women do not cannot exempt men.
In regular situation, it's yes. Just some say.
Yeah, that's what we pass it. That women should not be mitzvah men. It's a suffix. That since it's a suffix, we don't know. The problem is this. We don't know whether a woman's obligation of hearing the Megillah is the same level as a man's obligation. Both are obligated. A man is obligated to read the Megillah. A woman is obligated, it's a machlokas, whether a woman is obligated to read or to hear the Megillah. Now, you'll tell me, if I'm obligated to read the Megillah and I'm going to listen to someone else read it, then how is I yotze? The answer is because we have a concept of shomea ka'ona. When you hear, it's like you're saying it. But the obligation on a man is not to hear the Megillah. The obligation is to read the Megillah. When you hear it being read, it's like you're reading it. A woman, some say, the obligation is only to hear the Megillah. So if she's reading it for you, she's not obligated the way you're obligated. And therefore, you can't fulfill your obligation listening to a woman. Now, you have a separate issue of kol isha, of hearing a woman chant, which is a separate issue. But let's say it's your wife. Or let's say it's a woman who's you're allowed to listen to, your mother, your sister, etc. Still, it's discouraged because you might not be yotze that way.
You don't choose to do it in minyan?
What's that?
You don't need minyan for this?
We'll see in a minute. Preferably you should. Yeah, we'll see in a moment.
If you need it, so is you cannot say that some say, some others say that nashim allowed to.
No, we're gonna see. We're gonna see. It's better to have a minyan. You don't have to.
You don't have.
Yeah, we're gonna see. Hagah v'yeshamim, some say, ima isha kara la'atzma, that if she reads it for herself, if a woman reads it herself, mevarechas lishmoa megillah, her bracha should be to listen to the Megillah, not al mikra Megillah, not on the reading of the Megillah. Shena chayavetz bekriya, because she is not obligated to read, she's only obligated to hear. Now, the Mishnah Berurah points out that some say that a woman cannot be motzi another woman. Even that. Some say she can, some say she can't. Therefore, if a woman is able to, she should hear it from a man. If she can't hear it from a man, then she should hear from she could hear from a woman. However, even according to those who say that a woman could hear from a woman, but not a group of women, only like a small group, like one or two, whatever, like that. But a large group of women you should not have a woman reading for a large group of women. Most poskim hold that is not right. That's prohibited.
This was the
No, this is he brings it from the other poskim. They say that it's that a woman should not read for many women because zila b'humilsa, because it is degrading. That's not the way it should be done. It should be a man reading for women. That's the way it's brought in the poskim. Yeah.
So if a woman reads for herself, the bracha is shemaya.
Lishmoa. Mikra Megillah, to listen to them.
She listens to a man. She says amen to the bracha of
reading
the
Right. Because to listen is included in to read, but to read is not included in to listen. That's the difference.
If a woman is reading it for herself, she does not need to read it out of a manuscript. She can read it out of a sefer.
No, anybody who is reading it has to read it out of a Megillah, out of a manuscript.
Okay.
Yeah.
Are you say in any fashion if you don't read it from a Megillah?
No.
If you just have a chumash.
No.
Available,
if you can't get a Megillah, that's what you should do. But you know, you don't fulfill your obligation.
Right. For listening and reading.
What? Yeah. You have to read it from a kosher Megillah. Yeah. Now, if you can't get a kosher Megillah, you should read it anyway, just so that you know the story. But you haven't fulfilled the obligation.
You have not.
No. You got to hear it being read from a kosher Megillah. Yeah. Megillah is the hardest mitzvah for him. All the other ones are easy. Megillah is much harder. You got to hear the whole thing from Megillah twice, night and day.
You have to hear it.
It has to be done correctly. That's why we have a lot of readings. That's why you have the different readings to accommodate people's schedules.
So what I'm saying is the person that's doing the reading, they're reading from a kosher Megillah.
That's right.
Those of us who are listening
don't need a kosher Megillah. Right. But the reader needs to be a kosher Megillah.
Gotcha.
And if you're reading it for yourself, meaning that you can't get the shul, so you're reading it yourself. It's got to be from a kosher Megillah.
Yeah, we might give commentaries. You and I might be covering it. You said you have to be someone who's chayav on the mitzvah, implying there's something to the 730 minyan, 710 minyan.
Now, okay, that's a good question. Since a person is chayav, even if they already were yotze, but they are a person who is chayav, they could read again.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's a very good point. That is brought up. His question is that we said that if you're not obligated, you can't be motzi somebody else. Right? So let's say you already did the mitzvah, so you're not obligated anymore. But since you are a person who is obligated, that's why you're able to read it again. Yeah.
I don't understand why if a woman is just hired to hear, and she's home with kids and can't come to Megillah reading, why she can't read, just read it out of...
Because that's not hearing the Megillah read from a kosher. It's hearing it from a kosher Megillah. She has to hear it from the Rambam. It's like saying we're obligated to hear the sound of a shofar. But if you blow a trumpet, you didn't hear the sound of a shofar. Right?
You're here. She can read to herself without the tamim.
You don't have to say it with the tune. As long as you say the words. It's okay.
It's okay.
Yeah. Yeah, it's better with the tune, but it doesn't have to be.
Okay. There's a live video stream on the internet of a guy reading the Kosher.
No good. No good. Sorry. Okay. Okay, we're going to skip Gimel and Dalet and go to Hay. The Gimel and Dalet are cases that are obscure. So we're going to move to Hay. Makom She'ein Minyan, a place where there is no Minyan. Im echad yodea v'acherim enam yodim. If one knows how to read, the other ones don't. Echad poter es kulam, then one can read for everybody else. Vim kulam yodim, but if they all know how to read, kol echad kari la'atzma, then each one should read for themselves. In other words, the whole idea of reading in a group is when you have a minion. If you don't have a minion, so then there's no difference. Everybody can read it for themselves if they all know how to read. That's fine.
But you can be as somebody else, yeah. Even if it's not minion.
Yeah. Vav, minig tov lahavi ktanim uktanos lishma mikra megillah. It is a good minig to bring small children to hear mikra megillah. Now, that's what the Shulchan Aruch writes. All the Mefarshim go to town over here and say very clearly and very strongly, this means children who are old enough to be trained, who are old enough for chinuch, which means we're talking about, I don't know what age you want to use, I would not take a child who cannot sit from beginning to end, which means for half an hour, and follow every word inside, I would not take them to the reading of the Megillah, because they will disrupt. And any child that's going to disrupt should not be brought to shul for Megillah, because that's what they're going to do. And that's going to make other people not fulfill their obligation, because they're going to be loud, and they're going to talk, and you're going to have to take care of your children in the middle of the Megillah. It's going to be very difficult. And that's also the reason for staggered Megillah readings, so that parents can be home with their children, one first and one second, to make sure that everybody, the adults, get to hear the Megillah. I'll just tell you personally what I'm doing this year. I have an 8-year-old and a 6-year-old. I have over 8 and under 6, but of those two, my 8-year-old I plan on bringing to Megillah this year, and my 6-year-old I plan on not bringing to Megillah this year. I don't think she's old enough to make it through, and certainly the 3-year-old I'm not taking to Megillah. That is the thing. So once they are old enough, though, you have to bring them because you have to train them to hear the Megillah, just like any other mitzvah, to train them. But what the Mishabrua speaks about is that the kids come just to bang Haman and not for anything else, and that becomes the main part of the mitzvah, and then they don't listen to the Megillah being read and they don't pay attention. And he says, and then if that's the case, then the children should not be brought.
I don't know about adults.
Yeah, okay. But we have no choice. We have to let them in. Right. That's the thing. I see that Beth Jacob this year is trying to address this. They're having this this kids' Megillah reading that Rabbi Feinlich is doing. I thought that was very interesting.
That was 15 Sunday morning.
So that's where Rabbi Freeman got the idea from.
Rabbi Freeman doing it also?
Yeah.
That's a nice idea. The kids should be included. There's no question. You want to include the kids as much as you can, but not to the point of disturbing everybody else who needs to be, I'd say, the mitzvah.
So there's going to be a reading for the kids. What age group?
11 to teenagers, 2 to 6, Sunday morning.
Obviously, they're not going to read the whole thing. You know, he's going to...
Stories.
What does it mean? They don't pay attention to anyone. They don't understand what they read.
Right.
What's the matter?
Well, no, the matter is only, it doesn't matter if they're going to sit there and be quiet, it's fine. The problem is only if they're going to make noise.
No, so it's better?
Yeah, because then you won't be able to.
Call me loud.
But
it's
just in Amman, they make noise.
Just in Amman, yeah, that would be okay. If it's just for Amman. But usually it's not the case. I mean, you know, they nag and they talk and, you know. Sometimes you have a kid who's just, you know, very quiet, just sits very quietly. I had one like that. Of all of mine, she no longer is like that, but when she was little, she would just sit.
She didn't know anything
about it. Right. But normally, that, you know. Okay, next, Tafresh study. Kari Adam is a Megillah, Bein Omri, Bein Yoshev. You can read the Megillah whether you're standing or sitting. Avalo Yikra, but Sibor Yoshev. But in the Sibor, in a minion, the reader should not read sitting down, the Chachila. Because of the honor of the tzibor, it's not honorable to them that the person should be sitting down. Person can't start reading until the congregation agrees that he should begin to read. They say to him, please read. You can't just read without asking permission. Okay. Yeah, well, they do that anyway because they announce to keep quiet and not to talk, etc. So, you know. Okay, I'm going to be skipping ahead over here. He talks about the obligation of reading the whole thing and not missing any words. Oh, you know what? Okay, you know what? Let's not turn the page yet because let's do Gimel. I think this one's important. Tzarech lekrosa kula. You have to read the whole thing or hear the whole thing being read. Umitol haksav. It has to be out of the writing. It has to be read not by heart, but out of the writing. Vimkara al pev was written read by heart, lo yatsa, you have not fulfilled your obligation. Vitzarach shetank suva kula lefanav lechachila, and also the entire Megillah has to be written in front of the person who's reading. In other words, you can't read it out of a half Megillah. He has to read it out of a whole Megillah. Avo b'di'evit, but b'di'evit, which means if it happened, im hishmit ha-sofer be'emsa tevos, if the scribe left out some words or letters in the middle of the Megillah, even up to half the Megillah, the Karam Hakore Alpe, and the reader read it by heart, Yatza. He is Yatza. So this is not like Kriyas HaTorah the whole year round, where if there's one letter missing in the Torah, the whole thing is puzzle. That's not so with the Megillah. You can be missing up to half the letters. Hagah, but the Rama says, Avalim Hishmit Mitchilasa, Osofa, if you left at the beginning or the end, Afilu Mi'uta, even a little bit, Lo Yatza, you're not Yotze. Afilu Bamsan, even in the middle, Dafka the lohishmit inyan shalem. That's only if you didn't leave out an entire portion. Aval biyoser mechetzah. But if it's more than half, afilu hing suvos. Even if it's written elashem mitush tashos, but it's already wiped out. But in mishuma nicker, you can't see the outline of the letters. Psula, and it is puzzle. Now, you say, well, what is this relevant to us? You know, the person is going to read it from a good Megillah, etc. What's relevant is this: if you're listening to the person reading from the Megillah, and you missed some words. You know, you miss some words because somebody made noise, or whatever it is, you didn't hear it. So then you can read in your own chumash, even though you have a chumash, which is not a kosher Megillah in front of you, you can read those words in the chumash. And you can catch up to the reader, to the Balkriya, and then continue listening to him from then on. So you'll say, yeah, but those words I didn't hear read out of a kosher Megillah. That's okay. Up to half the words you can hear those words or say those words even not out of a kosher Megillah, even by heart you could say those words. So that would be acceptable if you need it. And very often you need it. Very often in the middle of the Megillah reading for the whole time it's being read, it's common that at some point or other you're gonna miss some words.
Also the Baal Korah. Also the Baal Korah is.
Yeah. Okay. He shouldn't, but he could. And if it happens, it's okay. If you read something by heart.
Yeah.
Okay.
I heard that there was a difference between reading it from a chumash that has Megillah in it, or you read it from just a sefer, just
correct.
Megillah.
Correct. In the tzibor, it should not be read from a. You don't mean a chumash. You mean a scroll, but the scroll has more than just Megillah in it.
No. I'm talking about the
when you're reading along.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's okay.
Either way, it's not more kosher to leave with in a chumash.
No, it's more kosher to have your own Megillah, kosher Megillah. And that way, right?
Yeah, you're right. I'm talking about if you don't have your own.
That makes no difference. What you may have heard is that when reading from the tzibor, so then the Balkriya should have his own Megillah. It shouldn't be a Megillah that also is included in the rest of Tanakh. It should just be in the Megillah.
For a Haftarah, there's something that he
said. For having the whole Sefer.
Yeah.
Right.
Reading it out.
A Megillah Sester should be just Megillah Sester in the Seaboard. That's right. That's right. Right. Now, you have to hear every word. There is a famous, there is a story that happened in Baltimore. It's famous amongst us Baltimore alumni. That many of us were there. Many of the Atlanta scholars call rabbis were there at the time that the Baal Kriya read the Megillah, and then and this goes back more than 20 years ago. He was reading the Megillah, and then they listened to the Megillah on a tape afterwards that he had, you know, they had taped him at the time, and then listened to it, and they realized he missed the word. He missed the word Hayom. Yavo Hamelach veHaman Hayom El Hamishteh Asher Asisi Lo. Let the king and Haman come to Mishteh today. So he missed the word, and nobody caught it because it's the first word after Haman. Yavo Hamelach veHaman Hayom. So he skipped it. So it was it was 10 o'clock at night. They gathered everybody back together and they read the Megillah all over again. So
wasn't in the Megillah, or she missed.
No, he just forgot to say it. He skipped it. Oh. It happens. So to this day in Baltimore, the minhag is that when the Baal Kriya gets that word, they do it real loud. Ha yom. That's the word that was always missed.
That guy really has.
Huh?
I mean, that guy will be known for that forever, I guess.
Yeah. He's very good. He's very good. This is an anomaly. Okay. Let's read Dalet, which is really part of what I was just saying to you. Mi shetofes biyado megillah she'ena ksheira, someone who's holding in his hand a megillah which is not kosher, like you're reading out of a chumash, lo yikra im shliach tzibur, you should not read along with the reader, because your reading is not a kosher reading, because it's not a kosher megillah. Ela shomei avishosik, you should be quiet and listen to the person who's reading. Haga, and the Rama adds, v'chein lo yisayeya shum adam al pen l'chazen, also nobody should help the chazen out by heart. Therefore, those psukim that we read, like the four psukim that we read, Mordechai, Ish Yehudi Hayom Shushan Habira, and Layehudi Ma'aseh Orvus Yehudi, those four psukim, Tzarech HaChazan Lachzor V'Likrosam Mitoch Megillah Kshera. The Chazan has to go back and reread them from the Megillah itself. So the proper order is, when we get to the pasuk of Ish Yehudi, the Chazan stops. We all say Ish Yehudi. And after we finish, then the Chazan also begins from Ish Yehudi, because we weren't yod say that pasuk until we hear him reading it. So you'll say, so why do we read it? Why do we read it? Why do we say those four psukim? You know what the reason is? To keep everybody alert and awake. That is the reason. Yeah, that's the reason. Those four psukim are the main psukim of the Megillah, so it's like it makes everybody focused and it gets everybody awake and alert.
If you did happen to do that.
That's fine.
It's not in the middle. It's not in the middle of the Megillah or during the Megillah.
Yeah.
It's in the right. Beginning.
The beginning and then the end.
Kriya for a fast when you read.
We say it out loud.
Yeah.
It's the same thing over there. The Chazan has to reread it. Baal Kriya has to reread it because we weren't yod saying
that. It's not to stay away because it's a very.
No, that's probably that's probably just because it's the main psukim of Hashem having forgiving us.
This happened several years ago. Somebody's wife, who's very smart, you probably know who she is, but I won't say who it is. She was at a later Megillah reading. The mostly ladies were there, and she caught several mistakes of the Baal Kriya made that were not corrected while he read it. And she went to Rabbi Talman and asked him. Where she
goes,
and I don't know what he said.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, if she corrected and she said it.
Then she noticed it. She noticed that he made a mistake. She didn't yell out.
Oh, she didn't yell out.
Corrected. Nobody corrected.
Depends how bad the mistake is. If the person said Esther instead of Mordechai, then they would be out there. Right? But if they said a word a little bit wrong, it depends on how badly it was misset. Okay?
And from your earlier discussion, if she would have gone back and read those words out of,
that would be fine.
She would have been Yetzi?
Yeah.
Even okay.
Okay, but it's got to be done. Megillah has to be read in order. You can't. Let's say you missed a word, and he kept reading. So you went back and said that word, and then you skipped ahead to where it was up to. That's no good. You have to read it in order. So if you missed anything, you have to start from that point and catch up. So it shouldn't be backwards. Got to be in the correct order, the way it's written in the Megillah. Okay. I'm going to skip ahead over here. Okay.
Test.
Oh, do you want to do test? Let's test.
the Ketuvim Baanglit.
Yeah, okay, I don't know. You mean reading it in English? You shouldn't read it in English. I mean, it would only be relevant if the Megillah itself were transliterated. Let's say you have a Megillah that says, it was in the days of Ahasuerus spelled Aleph Tes Vav Samach. Right? It was in, right? Then it could be, but if you just, you know, that's not relevant to us today. We don't have any Megillahs written that way. Okay.
אבל אם הוא מכירה כזה, if he know just this language,
yeah, but it has to be written in that language also.
Just the English.
The Megillah has to be written in that language.
Yes, just English.
Yeah, but it's not. I'm saying we don't have any Megillahs written that way.
Why?
What? It has to be kosher on the cloth.
אבל הנה, כתוב כאן, אז מה אתה עושה?
Yeah, it's going to be...
הכתובה ב...
Transliterate a Megillah on cloth, can't
you? You can. You can, yeah. Yeah. But I'm just saying, you're not going to find any written that way.
Ah, you can write English in cloth.
Yeah, you can write English on cloth, but it has to be b'ktav yivrit. It has to be
b'otiyot
yivrit.
Ah. It's more Yiddish.
They're
writing
in yivrit. Yeah.
They
have everything else these days, I'm surprised.
Yeah. Who knows?
You know, I just say if it's in yivrit or in English.
What? A Megillah can be written in any language, but it has to be Hebrew lettering. Transliterated.
But then if you read from the letters.
Then someone who understands English could be Yotze with an English Megillah is written in English. With Hebrew letters but English words. It would be Yotze, yes.
וגם אינו, יש כאן, הרמה אומרת שזה...
צריכים לראות גם במשתמרות. I'm telling you that.
כתוב. זה לא קראתי במשתמרות, אתה אומר. מה, הוא חולק עליו?
אני כבר למדתי את זה היום. אוקיי. טס וב. We're going to skip to the next page. Tes Vav, on page 311. So timing. Okay, we have just a few more minutes. Tzarech lomar aseres b'nei Haman v'aseres hakol b'neshima achas. You have to say the 10 sons of Haman and the word aseres, which means 10, in all in one breath. Lahodia shekulam nergu v'nitlu ke'achat, to show that they were all killed and hung simultaneously. Hagav v'davka l'chavchila, this is only l'chavchila v'b'di'eved, but if it happened that you didn't do it, im hivsik b'neim, if he took a breath in the middle, yatsa, he is yotze.
Shouldn't or couldn't go back and do it again?
You don't have to go back. It's l'chavchila. Noagim lomar b'neshima achas mitchilas chamesh meos ish. The minhag is to start from the words chamesh meos ish, which is the three words that precede the 10 sons of Haman. Ve'ez parshandasa, and then you start with the first son, Araseres, told the word Araseres. Now some shoals, I don't know what the minhag over here is, some shoals have the minhag that they also, that Tzibur says all the 10 sons of Haman also. Is that what happens here or no?
Yes.
It is what happens here.
Yeah, they pause and everyone tries to do one breath and most guys don't succeed and then they read the breath.
Yeah. So this is that's the minhag of Bnei Yisrael in the yeshiva. So it could be that's why it's done here also. I don't know. But not every place does that. But that is the minhag in some places that the 10 sons of Haman are said by the Tzibur also. Tez Zayin, Tzarech Shiomer, Arur Haman Baruch Mordechai Arura Zeresh Brucha Esther. You have to say, after the Megillah is over, basically Shoshanas Yaakov. You have to say, Arur Haman Baruch Mordechai Arura Zeresh, Zeresh is cursed, Brucha Esther. Arurim Kol HaTzadikim, Bruchim Kol Harash, I'm sorry, Arurim Kol Harashayim, Bruchim Kol HaTzadikim. You have to say, you have to curse all the evil people and bless all the righteous people. The Tzarech Shiomer V'gam Charvona Zochor LaTov, and you have to say also Charvona is remembered for good. That's all part of the, and we have it in the Siddur. You're supposed to say it afterwards. I assume they sing it over here after the Megillah. I assume they sing Shoshanas Yaakov. It's not just a nice song. It's part of the minhag to make sure to say those words after Megillah is over.
The whole shtickle there.
Yeah, it's not so long. That's long. Now at night is a whole longer shtickle to say Asher Haini. Is a thing to say. Now the brachos of the Megillah, which we're not going to have time to get to, but the brachos, there are three brachos. There's Al Mikra Megillah, She'asa Nisim, and Shehechiyanu. Those are the brachos Rishonos, those are said before the Megillah. You should listen to the Baal Kriya who says those brachos and answer Amen, have in mind to be Yotze with him. In the morning, when he says Shehechiyanu, you should have in mind not only for the Megillah, but also for the other mitzvos, Shalachmanos, Matanos, Savionim, and the Seuda. That Shehechiyanu goes on those other mitzvos as well. You should have that in mind when he says the bracha. after the Megillah is over, there's a bracha of Harav Esrivenu. That bracha is only said in a minyan, that bracha achrona. If you're not in a minyan, that bracha achrona is not said. Only in a minyan it's said. So people should not talk from the moment the first bracha begins until the amen of the last bracha. There should be no talking, unless there's some absolute need to, but there should not be talking, preferably from beginning to end.
I don't believe it's fine to have a minute to say Sheikh Yanu in the daytime.
Oh, really?
Yeah, okay. Only one time at night.
Okay. Yeah, there's a machlokes about that. Right. That's right. Okay. Right. So that's the brachos, and also the bracha achrona of the Megillah is not said until they roll up the Megillah. That's why there'll be a pause after the Megillah is over, before you hear the bracha achrona, because they're rolling up the Megillah, because you're not supposed to make the bracha achrona until you roll it up. That's why it takes a little bit, there's a little pause of it.
Why is that?
I think for just for the covet of the Megillah. It shouldn't just be left there, all unraveled. Okay, everybody should have a freilich and Purim.
Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.